Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good morning, everyone, to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message this morning. Our message is going to be from Scriptures of Matthew, but the title is God's Word is the Truth. And I think I'm going to do probably next week or so on some things about God's truth. But anyways, that's where we're at this morning, folks. God's Word is the Truth. We're going to start out in Matthew 24:35. We're going to do Isaiah 40, verse 8, John 17, 17, 19, Psalms 119, 11, John 10, 27, 28. But, folks, you don't always have to have your finger on every single one of them. I'll try to give you a couple of seconds in between to find your places, but at least start out with Matthew 24, 35, and Isaiah 40, verse 8. But until we get there, folks, I have a song for you, and then we'll do some prayers. The song this morning that we have for you is What a Mighty God We Serve. It's less than 2 minutes. It's probably a minute and a half, folks. I'll be right back. That'll give everybody a chance to get here. I want you to understand, folks, we serve a mighty God. That's why I chose that song. There's no other reason why I would have chose that. I did that intentionally. I want you to understand that the God that we serve, the God of truth, the God, the Word, the Bible, God is our truth. Whether you want to buy that or not, folks, you might as well get on board with me and realize it, because the world is going down a path of destroying itself. They're doing all they can to make things fake. They're trying to do all they can to discredit what God's Word is. They're doing all they can to bring about more sin into the world and let people just live however they want with no guide, no repercussions, nothing, no penalty. They think that everything is just okay to do whatever they want. In fact, if you stop and look around in the news today, we got people that are gay, lesbian, transgender. They're fighting for rights. They're fighting for this and for that. And they have a right. I'll give them that. In this country, they have a right. But they don't have a right to beat down God's word. There is going to be a punishment for that. They will find that out in time. Trust me when I tell you that's the way it's going to be. If you don't, go read your Bible. You'll find out for yourself. You know I tell you this all the time. Do not take my word for it. Please read your Bible. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. This week there was something that was brought up, and it was about whether the Bible is the truth, whether the Bible that we have before us, be it mine, yours, or some other interpretation, whether it's the truth or we're just taking some man's word for it, right? I did a little study, and we'll get into that next week, but the Bible we have today, the one that I'm reading from, has discrepancies, folks. I'll give you that. But I can tell you this. I don't put my faith in a book. I don't put my faith in pages with ink written on them. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I study the Bible so that the Holy Spirit can work in me, so that he can guide me and strengthen me. Amen? And if you do that, you'll find that God works in your heart, that he leads you, guides you, and strengthens you. Now, I'm going to show you some things this morning, and I want to go through the verses before I go back to anything else I have to say, because my text this morning, the whole message, is based on God's word being the truth. Now, let's look at Matthew 24:35, and it says this in Matthew 24:35. It says, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God's word's never going to pass away, folks. I don't care what man does to it. I don't care how he figures it. That's not going to happen. Now, Before I get into a whole message, because I promised I would do prayers, I always seem to get caught up in the message because I get excited over it. But this morning we have to pray for a few people. One of them is Concetta's grandmother. Concetta, she's going to have surgery this week on her leg. Okay? If you've been following this, you've been following the fact that she got hurt and she's damaged her leg and she's going to now need surgery. Please pray for Concetta's mother, grandmother rather. I believe it's tomorrow. And then we have Janelle Voss. She's had cancer. My wife mentioned this, a friend of my wife's. They've been friends online for quite a while. And Janelle is one of these ones who's always praising God, always uplifted. But all of a sudden, in the last couple of rounds of her chemo or her cancer treatments, she's been down. She's wearing out. It's not that she's saying anything negative, nothing like that, but it's taking its toll on her, folks. So please pray for God to lift her up, to guide her, to strengthen her, to give her a better healing than she's had. Just that God would touch her heart, let her know that he's there, that she doesn't have anything to worry about. It's just like having a bad flu. This time too shall pass. Sandy Washer asked for some prayers for Richard P. He's recovering from a knee surgery. A friend of hers also, Brenda, this is Sandy Washer's friend, who needs uplifting and guidance. Look at folks, we're all in need of guidance. We're all in need of uplifting. The world beats us down and trashes us. So please pray for Sandy's friend, Brenda. And then she also asked for all those that have cancer. You know, the world's filled with this cancer, and it's just getting worse and worse. But you know what? If you're a Christian, it doesn't matter what happens to this body. Your Holy Spirit's going to go on to heaven, and you do have a Holy Spirit within you. And that's why part of the message today and what I'm trying to get across to people is the Holy Spirit lives in us. We have one more prayer request. It's for Tammy Brule's uncle. He passed away this past week. Now, I don't know if he's saved, if he is or he isn't, but I can tell you this. The family still needs uplifting and guidance, correct? So please pray for Tammy's family. Also for her daughter, for some situations her daughter's going through. Tried to help them out this week and help them get a patch on the roof over a leak that was going on. There's others, folks. There's my friend Joe. There's my children. We could think and go on a list long as the day about prayer requests. I'm hoping that you're praying for those in your family, praying for those that need to understand the word, praying for those especially that want to beat down the word because they spend so much energy tearing apart the word, but they don't use the same amount of energy to build up the word. And that's why I'm here today, folks. I'm here to help lift up God and praise him and sing for him and just cherish the fact that we're able to have that ability and that right in this country, because in other countries they don't have it. So, Father, please thank you for allowing us the opportunity to share the gospel, be able to come and ask for prayers and come to you with all of our needs at your feet, Lord. We lay all these prayers at your feet, and we just ask you to heal those that are sick, to guide those that need your strength, to lift us up so that we can be more powerful for you, that we would take it upon ourselves to share your gospel, Lord, and not share the stuff of this world. Let's start doing more for you, Lord. Please build us up and get us to do the right thing. Thank you, Father, for letting us have those prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, like I said to you, it says in Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away. The heaven and the earth are going to pass away someday. Heaven itself will be there. If you look in the Bible, there's more than one heaven. Now, what are they talking about that heaven? I don't know, but I can only imagine it's what's out around the earth. After that becomes God's heaven, and that's where we're going to be as Christians. Those that are not Christians, those that are non-believers, we know where they go. I don't want to keep going down that path with you, but you know it, and I know it. If you're a non-believer, you're choosing to be a non-believer, just as I'm choosing to be a believer. The believers are going to heaven. The believers are going to go live with God. The non-believers are going to go to a pit of fire. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what I believe, and whether somebody else does or doesn't, that's their choice. Okay? Isaiah 40, verse 8 says this, the grass withereth away, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Praise God. Praise God that we have this word. You know, it wasn't long ago that I was a mocker of God. I wasn't as bad as Saul. I didn't drag people in to be beaten just because they were Christians. But I also didn't bother to stand up for God. And today I try to do that. I do that because I believe that the words that I read from the book are the truth. Now, some would say, yeah, but you're going by something that has been proven that it's not the actual text of the original Bible. You are absolutely right. You know something? I don't understand Greek. I don't understand Hebrew. I only understand English. In fact, I don't speak other languages. I may know a few words of different languages, but I can tell you this much. I cannot read from a Bible that's in Greek or in Hebrew. I can only read it from the English version. And now that I've done some research this past week on different things and different scriptures and how my Bible may not have the exact words of the original text, I've also decided this. The Holy Spirit guides me. Because the Bible says, even though I have all knowledge, I'm still not God, and I don't know everything. I do know this. I used to attend different churches throughout my life. I've been in a Methodist church. I've been in an Episcopalian church. I've been in a Baptist church. I've been in a Catholic church. I've been in a Protestant church. And I can tell you this much. God used every one of those churches to guide me to where I am today. So it's not about what is taught. It's what the Holy Spirit puts in my heart. And he'll put it in your heart as well. In Psalms 119, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, that was David who wrote that. Now, the reason why that's written in there, and I believe this is why it's important that scripture, different verses, touch people, and the Holy Spirit works in them. That word was hid in my heart years and years and years before I ever started to share the gospel. When I first heard the word of God, maybe it did, maybe it didn't touch me. Maybe I thought it was a bunch of garbage. But now I see the light like Paul. I know now, because I was blinded then, and I know the truth. When you know the truth, folks, it doesn't matter what some book says. It doesn't matter what some person says. It doesn't matter what this world says or claims. What matters is the Holy Spirit works in your heart and guides you and strengthens you and lets you know that God is real. Look at here in John chapter 17, verse 17 and verse 19. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Now, when he said that, he said he was talking about the people in John. When Jesus was going to die and go away, he said, Father, sanctify me. And he would sanctify his, which are his children, his followers, and he would sanctify them with the word and the truth of God. And for their sakes, he says in verse 19, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And the truth is this. God sent Jesus to share the gospel. He said, listen, here's the prophecy. I'm going to take you away someday. I'm going to tear this temple down in 3 days, and then I'm going to build it back up. And the foolish world back then, the Pharisees and the scribes, thought he was talking about the temples around them that took years to build, when what Jesus was saying is, in 3 days, I'm going to die. In 3 days, I'm going to be built back up. And in them 3 days, Jesus was. Jesus was built back up. He was raised up from the dead. He was crucified. He was beaten. He was put on a cross. He hung there. They took him down. They put him in a grave. After he was in the grave for a day, they went and they found out the tomb was rolled away. It took all of 3 days for all that to happen. And God raised him back up from the dead. And if you read through the scriptures, you'll see that it's true. Because even Thomas was a doubter. Thomas doubted that Jesus was real. And this is what we're seeing today. People are doubting whether God exists. Whether the Bible is the truth. Thomas was one of these ones. He said, until I can see the nail prints in his hands, until I can see the blood in his side and the hole in his side from the spear, I'm not going to believe this. He said, unless I see him for myself, I won't believe it. And that's what happens with so many of us. We want some kind of sign. We want some kind of a miracle. The miracle is yourself. The miracle is you change. And if you don't believe me, start reading your Bible and see the change that happens in your life. The reason you won't is because you're waiting for some miracle to happen, for God to come down out of the sky and smack you around and tell you, listen, enough of this nonsense. I'm real. God's not going to do that. God's only going to give you a sign when you start giving him the credit due him by reading his scripture, by acknowledging his son, by accepting Jesus Christ, by accepting that he died on the cross, that he died for your sins, my sins, and all the sins around us. Then God can work in your heart. And if you don't want to do that, don't expect God to show you a sign. You don't deserve one. He asked you to do something. He said, believe in my son, and you believe in me also. Like I say, Proverbs 1:19 says this, thy word have I hid in thy heart, in my heart, that I might not sin against you. 2 mentions a lot also, and you'll have to go read that for yourself because it takes a lot to go through that. It says, in Proverbs 2, I wrote down, it mentions how we are to follow the truth and avoid the wickedness of man and his foolish ways and deceptive tricks to mislead us. Because this world loves to mislead us. Because as long as it's got us caught in looking at how the Bible is no good and some guy wrote it, that it's not the truth, then we're not really looking at the truth. We're looking at things that some man told us is a lie. It's so easy to believe a man that tells you a lie about the truth, but you can't believe the truth about his lies. Figure that one out. I'm telling you, folks, you're being lied to, you're being deceived, and the great deceiver and the great author of confusion is Satan, and he's got a hold on you if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in the Bible, if you're going to keep running around going, it's written by some man, then you're deceived, you're confused, you don't understand, and you don't understand because you won't open your eyes, you won't open your ears, you won't listen to the word, you won't pick up a Bible, you won't try to understand it. You're too busy trying to deceive everybody and say that God's a liar and the book's not true. The Bible says, let every man be a liar and let God be the truth. In John 10, verse 27, 28, we're going to turn there, folks, because this is important. It gets about as important as the whole Bible itself. It says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. What do you think that means? My sheep hear my voice. Well, they ain't my sheep. They're God's sheep. And God's sheep hear his voice, and it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He says right there, this is about as important, like I said, as it gets. If you're one of God's children, you hear his voice. If you're not hearing his voice, why is that? Are you too busy with the things of the world? Are you too busy trying to prove that he doesn't exist? Rather than taking some time to sit still and ask, Lord, if you're real, talk to me. Help me understand. Help me see that the word of the that's written in this book is the truth. Just for now, just for a week, just for a day, just for a moment. Help me to understand one thing out of scripture so that I can see it and know that it's true. And he says here, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. If you're not following Christ, if you're not reading the scriptures, if you're not trying to understand them, who are you serving? Who are you listening to? For me, that means that you're listening to Satan. For me, that it means that you've got the demons convincing you that God's not real, so that you can continue to live your life living for the worldly lusts of this world, so that you can become one of Satan's little helpers, deceiving others, to believing that this book is written by a man who doesn't have any clue what he's talking about, even though the Bible says it's God-breathed, God-inspired. God explained to them to write this down. He said to Moses when he was up on the hill, bring me some tablets, you're going to write down something so you can bring it back to the people. If you understand the Bible, folks, you understand that God talks to you. And I'll tell you what, maybe the voice you're listening to that's louder may not be God. You ever think of that? Be careful what you listen. Be careful what you hear. My father used to say, believe none of what you hear, only half what you see. The Bible, it says right here, it says, go back one verse, it says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Who was he talking to? He was talking to people that don't believe. He said, listen, in verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Jesus was going about healing people. He was sharing the gospel. He was preaching to people, and nobody that was there, except a handful, wanted to hear the truth. And then there were those that came in droves to hear the gospel, to get saved, to be baptized, to follow Jesus Christ. And then they went out into the world and shared the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do, folks. We're supposed to take the word and then go share it to the world and watch the miracles happen. You want to see signs and wonders? You want to know what a sign and a wonder is? Say to somebody, do you know Jesus Christ? And watch and see their reaction, and you can tell who they serve. Sign and a wonder. Now, take that sign and wonder if you want to be a Christian. Practice the Bible, understand what it says, hear what it says, listen to what people are teaching you, the truth. Not these old wives' fables and this confusion the devil's got going on about some man wrote that book. You take the word and you go share it with somebody who's willing to hear the gospel, who's willing to learn, who's willing to grow in the Lord, and you'll see real miracles and real healing. John 1:1-14, in the beginning was God, and God was the Word. We're going to go back to John 1, because there's a lot there, 1-14, you'll see. The Gospel of John was written for a purpose. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see? The Word is God. You want to know God? Read the Word. Spend time with God? He's right there in the Word. The same was in the beginning with God, because with God was the Word. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That means this Bible wasn't even made without him, because we couldn't have the pages of this Bible if God didn't create the trees. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, the darkness, what's the darkness? The world is filled with darkness. It doesn't want to comprehend the light. It doesn't want to comprehend that Jesus is real, that he exists. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John wasn't Jesus. Jesus is our light. I just explained something real simple to you. John was a witness. John, right here, this book of John, was a witness of Jesus Christ. He didn't just write it down. He didn't just make it up. He didn't just have a crazy thought. He witnessed Jesus Christ. Now you tell me this book's a lie. It says that John was a witness. In verse 8 it says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness. He came, he explained to you that Jesus was real. He came, he said, listen, I know Jesus. I know who he is. I saw him do the miracles. I saw his word in action. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You see, This world doesn't want to know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus came into his own people, and they didn't even want to hear him. I preach the gospel to my friends and family, and some of them don't want to hear the truth. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see? Those that receive him, he gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. All you have to do really is believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, folks, the Word's the truth. No matter how you want to cut it, no matter how you want to explain it, this Bible isn't just the Bible. It's a book of history, of witness of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the truth that God exists. You can go ahead and deny it, but you cannot deny Jesus Christ without suffering. You're going to suffer, whether it be here on this earth or whether you're going to suffer for the rest of your life in hell. Jesus can lift you up, he can guide you, he can strengthen you, he can heal you, and he can take you home to be with him in heaven and leave your body here to rot on this planet. But your spirit's going to go somewhere, folks. You might as well get right with God and have it go to the right place where there's joy, peace, love, kindness, and compassion. Versus you're going to go to hell, you're going to die burning your sins forever and ever and ever and feel that pain forever and ever. And there ain't no methadone clinic and there ain't no morphine clinic and there ain't no Oxycontin that's going to heal that pain. It says here in Isaiah 55:11, and I'm not going to turn there, but it says, my word will not return void. That means you share the gospel, it doesn't return void. Oh, it may come back to you with some disgruntled person, but it ain't going to be void. What you're going to see and what you're going to witness when you share the gospel with others is whether or not they're interested in hearing the gospel and whether they're going to fight against you. And even the Bible says there's a place for them. In God's world, in this world that we're living on, these stones that we're walking among the people, because everything is something, everything has a purpose, correct? Well, if everything has a purpose, even the wicked has a purpose. God uses them to glorify himself, to say not to be like them. Don't be a non-believer, folks. Don't let this world deceive you. They're coming up with plans every day, all the time, on how to change the Bible, put in different words and what have you. And we'll talk about that soon enough. Thank you for letting me share the gospel with you. I'm glad I was able to come out. I hope I've touched your heart with something. I hope I made some sense of this message. The Bible's the truth, folks. God's word is the truth. Thank you for being here. God bless you. We'll talk to you again next Sunday. I have one last song for you, folks. As soon as I can get there, let me get to my other page. Okay? Power in the blood. There is no power in that pages. There's certainly power in the Word of God, and there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Here's my song. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. We can discuss any questions you may have over there. Thank you, and God bless you. Have a great day.
Mm-hmm.